God's advice on our speech. One childhood saying asserts, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me." However, in reality, words can either greatly help or they can do a lot of damage. As a pastor over the years, I've noticed a lot of counseling that I've had to do has been with the effect of words, and often the damaging effect of words. And so there's a tremendous need to address this issue. Words can greatly encourage others. Though the New York Jets quarterback Geno Smith began his career as a Jet quarterback before taking a long and winding NFL journey with other teams, he was the object of praise by the new team's offensive coordinator, Frank Reich. Reich played with Jim Kelly and coached Peyton Manning, Philip Rivers, Andrew Luck, and Matt Ryan during an NFL career that has spanned more than four decades. So he knows an outstanding quarterback when he sees one. That's what made his recent effusive praise of Geno so noteworthy, if not a bit surprising. "I am just so impressed by Geno," Reich said. "I cannot express that enough. I know we haven't played any games yet. We've got a long way to go. We've got a lot to prove, and everybody has a lot to prove. But man, he is on point. His preparation is top-notch. His football mind is elite." That's about as good a compliment as you can get from a coach on a quarterback. On the other hand, words can do a great amount of harm. A string of threats targeting schools called swatting and at least 10 Connecticut towns just before summer break represents the large increase in coordinated hoax calls popping up across the state and country that may be tied to extremist groups, some experts say. The barrage of phone calls that prompted school lockdowns and police responses are examples of swatting, an illegal practice in which perpetrators make false reports of threats in order to draw large police presence and cause panic. In response to some strong statements that have been made in the political realm, some influential parties have tried to curb the speech of their political foes, creating a national reaction. A recent survey from the Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, found that most Americans across demographics believe the right to vote, the right to free speech, and freedom of religion are integral to the country. But deep anxieties exist, as nearly half of Americans say freedom of speech is under major threat. So the need section of our sermon reads, "What is God's advice regarding our speech and the speech of other people that we have or that we hear?" God's wisdom, his chokmah in the Hebrew word, or fixed eternal moral order for success and blessing, applies to many issues of human concern, including the need to know what God advises on human speech. So we view Proverbs translated from the Hebrew biblical text in the book of Proverbs on God's advice on human speech. I've taken the liberty to translate these from the Hebrew text, and I've written the verses out instead of having you go back and forth through the scriptures. They're right here. Words are very potent, or they're very strong. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And this fact is illustrated in the following Proverbs. In Proverbs 13:17, we read, "A wicked messenger falls into calamity, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing." And then Proverbs 12:13, "With his sinful talk, an evil man is entrapped, but a righteous man comes out of narrow straits." Proverbs 10:11, "A fountain of life is the mouth of the righteous, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked." Proverbs 14:25, "A truthful witness rescues lives, but a false witness is deceitful." That means it sends the innocent to death. And Proverbs 10:21, "The lips of the righteous literally pasture," that we would say nourish many, "but fools die for a lack of judgment." Tremendous contrast just on words. Well, this fact can be detailed in several ways as follows. Words affect the inner man. Anxious care in the heart of a man depresses it, but a wholesome word gladdens it. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. I've noticed this sometimes when you're going in the grocery store, especially, and it's near the end of the shift, and the clerk that checkout clerk has just about had it. She's just about beside herself because she's gotten a lot of criticism from customers. But if you give an encouraging word, she'll look at you like, whoa, what's this all about? And it makes her day. Then Proverbs 15:4, the tongue that brings a healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into the innermost parts. That's like, you see, any time gossip occurs, whether it's correct or incorrect, it has a tendency to stick in the mind. That's what's so dangerous about gossip. And then Proverbs 15:1, a mild, gentle answer turns away fury, but a hurtful word stirs up anger. And Proverbs 25:15, through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Notice the power of words. Words affect one's welfare, of one's livelihood. Proverbs 13:2 states, from the fruit of his lips a noble man eats good things, but the life principle of the treacherous causes them to eat violence. So words can affect whether we have a good livelihood in life or whether we end up just the opposite. Just words. It's amazing. Incidentally, if you ever go to a job interview, watch your words. Watch your words, because they're listening. They're paying attention to how you speak. Sinful words also can harm. Sinful words can harm others. Like clouds and wind, but no rain, is a man who boasts of gifts that he does not give. Proverbs 25:14. Then Proverbs 26:6, like cutting off one's feet or drinking violence is the sending of a message by the hand of a fool. And then like a lame man's legs that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Proverbs 26:7, a fool is a person who is acting in the wrong way. So you give him something that is wise to say, but if he can't back it up with his own life, he actually does more harm than good. Proverbs 26:9, like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. A drunkard is a person who cannot control his own actions. And if you put a thorn bush in his hands, you don't know who he's going to hurt or what he's going to hurt. And that's the problem here. Proverbs chapter 16, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. He who conceals his hatred is forced to lie. He has lying lips. And he who speaks slander by hatred, he is a fool. So if a person hates, he's actually forced to be a liar because he's trying to hide it. And then a scoundrel plots evil and his speech is a scorching fire. Proverbs 16:27. And Proverbs 17:4, an evil man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. Proverbs 17:7, elegant lips are unsuited to a fool. How much worse lying lips to a ruler. And then a fool finds no pleasure in understanding except exposing what is in himself. Proverbs 18:2. Then sinful words harm oneself. The lips of a fool bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his own soul. Proverbs 18:6-7. Mouth and lips are in reverse order in verse 7 to dramatize how a fool's misplaced, out-of-order words are his own undoing. And then a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours forth lies will not go free. Proverbs 19:5. And then verse 9, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours out lies will perish. Proverbs 24:7, wisdom is too high for a fool. In the assembly at the gate, he has nothing to say. And then Proverbs 22:12, the eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, but he overturns the words of the treacherous. See, God's watching our words. I know there's a passage in the New Testament where Jesus said, man shall answer for every idle word that he says. God's keeping a record of everything we say, and we'll be held accountable for it someday. So words are important. Righteous words also help. Righteous words help others. The wise in heart are called discerning, and appealing speech fosters instruction. Proverbs 16:21. And then Proverbs 16:23, a wise man's heart gives insight to his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the life principle and healing to the bones. Isn't that something, just the words? If we use pleasant words, it can make it. I'll never forget one time watching a television show where a woman went in to see her boss. Everybody else knew that she was going to be fired. She came out smiling from ear to ear. And said, what happened? Did he not fire you? She said, no, he fired me. Well, how come you're smiling? Oh, the way he did it, it was so wonderful. Words. Words. Proverbs 20, verse 15, there is gold and rubies in abundance, but lips that speak knowledge are a jewel. Proverbs 24, 26, an honest answer is as a kiss on the lips. And then Proverbs 25, verse 11, like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken at the right circumstances. Proverbs 25, 12, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. In Proverbs 25, verse 13, as the coolness of snow and harvest is a trustworthy messenger to those who send him. And then upright words help oneself. From the fruit of his lips, a nobleman is satisfied with good things, as sure as the dealing of the hand of a common man or a laborer causes monetary returns to him. Proverbs 12, 14. So a nobleman who is a high-class man, if he watches his words, that'll help his livelihood. Is just as effective as a laborer who has to work with his hands. So words are important. And then it is a joy to a man when he gives an apt answer. And how wholesome is a right word at the right time? Proverbs 15, verse 23. Well, due to the power of words, we must make edifying action with the words that we speak and the words that we hear. So to avoid harming others and to edify them, we must speak with careful restraint. Careful restraint. Proverbs 20, verse 19. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Isn't that something? Proverbs 10, 19. If words are many, there is a lack of transgression, but there is no lack of transgression, but he who refrains his tongue is prudent. In Proverbs 11, 12, he who derides his neighbor lacks judgment, a man of understanding remains silent. We might know negative things about anybody or everybody, but there's a place for not to have to mention. We don't have to always go around and berating someone in front of someone else. Sometimes the best thing to do is just keep the mouth shut. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer uncovers a secret counsel, but a man of trustworthy spirit covers an utterance. In others, he keeps things in confidence. Proverbs 12, verse 23, a sensible man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. Proverbs 17, 27, a sensible man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. 17:27, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. And then verse 28 of chapter 17, even a fool is considered wise if he keeps silent and discerning if he holds his tongue. Proverbs 21, verse 23, he who guards his mouth and tongue preserves his life principle from narrow straits of trouble. Proverbs 21, verse 23. So what I want to do to add to the information that we've read this morning just from the book of Proverbs about how potent our tongues are. They can do a lot of good. They can do a lot of bad. We have some guidance from the New Testament. To avoid being harmed and to be edified, we must be responsive to words that we hear with careful restraint. Not only do we have to use restraint with what we say, we have to use restraint with what we hear. And this helps us avoid a lot of harm. We must test all words we hear by Scripture to discern if they are true and righteous words. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, Paul said that men shall go from bad to worse, deceiving, and being deceived. And the opposite of that is paying attention to godly people who have led us, but most of all, Scripture. So we need to develop a habit of every time we hear someone say something to us, and especially if they're making a comment about us, run it through Scripture, because the comment may not be true, or the comment might have a kernel of truth in it, but the rest of it be false. And what we need to do is distinguish between them. So we really need to be people of the book. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 21 says, we must withdraw from those who speak false, sinful words. Paul told Timothy that in the house There are clean vessels, and there are vessels that are unclean vessels. And he's talking in the context about teachers. So he says, if a man purges himself from the latter, from the unclean vessels, he'll be a clean vessel unto the Lord. And he's telling Timothy, you stay away from false teachers yourself. Otherwise, you're going to be affected as a teacher. So it's very important to withdraw from those who speak false and sinful words. And if we distinguish someone saying something to us that is false and harmful, we shouldn't take it, especially if it's a critique of us. If it's false, don't accept it. Absolutely reject it. Run it through Scripture, and you'll find the Word of God protecting yourself. And then we must associate with those who have pure hearts and speak true, edifying words. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, there's a phrase, with them. Paul says, get together with them. And it uses the preposition meta in the genitive case in the Greek language. It means to be in the company with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In other words, we need to fellowship with believers who edify with their words. I believe that in the culture and in the world in which we live today, there are a lot of painful and damaging words that are said to people. Sometimes they're said to us and everything. And what we need to do is to protect ourselves from those words. But it's always good to be together with God's people who are under the control of the Holy Spirit, who are going to speak edifying words. We need that edification. And that's one of the best antidotes I know from being hurt over bad words. Anybody, if you pay attention and you believe everything you hear, you're going to get crushed. Because there are people out there who will say all sorts of really bad words because they're trying to manipulate. What we need to do is to fellowship with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And I'm so glad that we have a fellowship at Nepog Church, and we have a lot of people here who love the Lord. And it's always edifying to get together. I've always appreciated following the Sunday morning services how people will just gather and talk with one another, and they're edifying one another. I can see by the smiles on their faces. And that's what we need. We need that mutual edification. So the lesson is, words are potent. So God advises us both to speak and to handle the words we hear with careful restraint. Now, the first thing we need to do, of course, is we need to know Christ as our Savior. May we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. John 3:16, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-11, that talks about the gospel of Christ. The Bible says that all of us have sinned. That would include me as a pastor. All of us have come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. But God sent his Son to die on the cross in our place to bear the punishment and the penalty of the punishment of our sin against him. So when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, God applies the account of Christ to us. He forgives us our sins. We're born into the family of God. We're purged and cleaned, and we become children of God. God causes us to be born into the family of God. If you haven't made that decision to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd urge you to do it today. In fact, I'd urge you to do it immediately, because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, and no one knows how long he has to live. And so I encourage people, make that decision today. Don't take any chances with your life. And then, in view of the power of words, may we rely on the Holy Spirit, like Galatians 5:16 says, for the careful restraint we need to speak and to respond to the words that are spoken to us. Now, to illustrate the message and provide additional guidance, in regards to the first two issues in our introduction, the Jets offensive coordinator exampled the good way to speak, and the callers of swatting threats to schools illustrate the bad way to speak, obviously. But on the issue of free speech, God wants us to modify our use of that liberty, that we speak and accept what we hear spoken unto us only if it aligns with his righteousness. As Americans, we have the right for free speech. This is why the Supreme Court will uphold someone such as a Nazi getting up and speeching off his stuff, which is very, very wrong, because we have free speech. But as a Christian, from God's perspective, our speech has to be modified. We have the right as Americans, but God wants us to modify our speech so that we speak that which is edifying, that which is building up, whether we're speaking to unsaved people, whether we're speaking to one another. God wants us to build up, not to tear down. And also, we need to gauge everything that is spoken to us through Scripture to see if it's true, if it's right, if it's edifying or not. If it's not, then we can't accept it. And we certainly shouldn't bank on it, especially if it's a critique of us and it's not right. But if we pay attention to what God's Word says and we use restraint both with hearing and restraint with speaking, then we're going to live in blessing and will be a blessing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your Word and for the way that it deals with this very important issue of speech. And I know, Father, that speech is a huge, huge issue today. I've talked with a lot of people over the years in regards to the abuses of speech and talked with people about the few times that they've actually been really, really edified and built up and encouraged by those who are godly. So I know it's very important. And I ask, Father, that if there's anyone in our midst this morning who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and they've struggled with these issues of unedifying speech either spoken to them or they've had that problem themselves, that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that through him and through the indwelling power and enabling of the Spirit of God, they might be able to have real victory in what they hear and what they accept of what they hear and also what they speak. And I ask, Father, that as believers in Jesus Christ, we would rely upon the Spirit of God to do that which really edifies with our speech and doesn't tear down, but really directs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.